instead of just cruising around the word, we're gonna mine it. Mine it. Does that make sense? That means we're gonna dig around for some stuff. Is that all right? Well, I hope so, because that's what we're gonna do. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. For we know that. That's what it looks like. For we know that. The Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, every Bible that I have, that I've read through, preached out of, or studied out of, for any period of time, like I go back and I look at it, I've got more dates and more markings in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians than any other book in the Bible. I don't ever consider it one of my favorite places or one of my favorite books, but it's always the one I read the most. I guess it's captive to me because I can probably relate to the Corinthian church more than I can any other church. I can relate, and when I say church, I'm talking about people, okay? So when I say church, don't think I'm talking about a building. I'm talking about people. The Corinthian church, they were a port church. They were a there was a lot of mass transport, like ships and cargo and stuff. There was a lot of people, a lot of things, a lot of influence. It was like a little bitty Rome at the time, okay? And I consider it kind of like a little America because they had a lot of distractions and they had Jesus who just blew up in their midst all of a sudden through Paul who planted the church. And they had this great distraction. They had a great amount of sin in their church. And Paul mentions grace more in 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians than he does in any other of his epistles. Ain't that amazing? The church that had the most sin and Paul had to correct the most, it mentions grace the most. So I guess when I see it, I can kind of relate because I've got a lot of distraction because I live in America, right? We've got a lot of goods and things coming in and out. We've got a lot of people who don't believe in God. And we're melted in, we're melted in with those, right? Now we're supposed to come ye out from amongst them. We're supposed to be separate, but separate in your belief, not separate in your activity. And if we're not careful, we'll separate ourselves so much that we can't reach a lost and dying world. You see what I'm saying? Have I gave y'all enough time to get to 2 Corinthians 5:17? I want to give y'all a little history and background. For we know that if this earthly, I love how Paul writes this, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Man, he didn't even, I love how this jumps off. It's like a matter of a fact. We know. The moment we die, this body is gone. We're going to be in heaven. God's created a new place, not only a new home. Listen, I love how he does it. He goes from tabernacle to house. Tabernacle, something temporary to something structurally forever, right? Remember when the Israelites, they were traveling through the wilderness, they came in tents. When they got to the promised land, they built what? They built a tabernacle. Look, they had God dwelt in a tabernacle. They got to the promised land. They built a temple, right? It's just a type and shadow of the church. This is our temporary. We're moving into our eternal, okay? And Paul says it matter of fact. And listen, this thing can refresh you something because I don't know like you, but sometimes the devil gets on my shoulder and says, I wonder how much time you got left, right? I wonder what you're going to. And makes me worry or have fear or anxiety. And instead, we need to do this, for we know. It's hard to scare somebody who's got a better ending inside. Amen? Do y'all see that? God, I love that. I don't know if you like it or not, but I don't like to deal in the morbid, but guess what? Paul doesn't either. For in this we groan earnestly. Listen, it's groan, desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. There's a groaning in here, not out here. Right? Not in the temporal. We love our families. We love our community. We love what we're doing. But there's a spiritual side to us that does groan to go to heaven. Right? I don't know. I got mine in 2004. And it's growing and growing and growing ever since then. There's something on the inside of me. I know what it is. I'm about to tell you what it is. But it's pointing in another direction. It's going, let's go. I can't wait. Man, you think this is something. Wait till we get to heaven. Now, I've got a desire to live. I've got grace to live. But I've got something in me and say, man, Kevin, you ain't even seen the half of this. You ain't even scratching the surface on this. You look through a glass darkly. You can't even imagine how good heaven's going to be. You can't even think or imagine. Now, that's crazy talk. I've told you that before. Let's go a little bit further. Verse 3, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that with mortality might be swallowed up of life. Oh gosh, I know that sounds crazy. What he was saying is, we're not sitting here going, man, I'm ready to die right now. I'm ready to go. Just take me out on the next load. Right? But we are saying, hey, we are ready, right? We are ready. The moment this, I love how Paul, man, he's a master. God picked a good man when he wrote this scripture. Mortality might be swallowed up in what? Life. Guys, listen, you might want to take a note right here and put the date right there beside that and just underline it, highlight it, put it there. Listen, your life as you know it is going to get swallowed up in more life. God. Real life. I mean, man, this is the closest to death that you're ever going to be. This is the closest to hell that you ever get as a believer. Man, one day, this thing, oh man, I wish I could preach to y'all the way I want to right here. How many of you notice that you're getting older every day? There we go, finally. How many of you guys? Now listen, I'm being honest with you. Sharp as tacks, smart, funny, capable, all that. But man, have you noticed the back pain? Have you noticed some knee problems? Have you noticed, man, it's as a little bit of time goes, man, you're like, goodness gracious, man, I'm falling apart. And I know if I hadn't hit everybody yet, let me ask you this one. Have you noticed if you don't take a shower for like 2 or 3 or 4 days? I'm trying to look at ones of you that are relating on this point right here. I'm trying to stay away from you. If you notice you ain't took a shower in about 2 or 3 days, you begin to stink, right? Yeah. She did slide me a note. All right. Sorry about that. You begin to stink. Why? Because your body is dying. It's a dying vessel. It is a dying vessel. This thing is a temporary tabernacle. It is. And one day, the death part of you is going to disappear, and the life part of you is going to be swallowed up in life. Never, man, if we could really be real, right here, I know I'm just looking out here, and I say, I know some of y'all on a little level, a little bit of level. Some of y'all have lost some people that you really love. And when you were sitting there, and if they were believers, when they died, they did not die to death. They died to swallowing up of life. They began to live on such a level that you're sitting there going, when you see them, they're going, man, that day that you got on my marker that I died, that's the day death got swallowed up by life. Man. We've got purposes and callings and things that we must do on this side. But after we're saved, one day, my goodness, we're going to say things like this. Man, I fought for that over there when this was over here waiting for me. Amen? And can I go ahead and preach just a little bit further right here? Can I show you some things as a preacher? I mean, I'm not nothing special, and I know that. But I have had an opportunity now to minister to people who are right close to the other side, and it's like they get this wind from the other side. I'm serious. And they're sitting there, man, they're talking, and they've got more grace. You say stuff like this, I wonder if I'm ever going to have that kind of strength. That strength comes from God. That strength comes from God. Because guess what? They're crossing over into something that's eternal, that's life. Amen? I mean, I don't like to talk about, but my dad's last few days, within the last 30, like 24 hours, he looked at my brother and my sister and my mom, and or my stepmom, and said, follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Just follow Jesus. That's all he kept saying to him. Where do you think that comes from? Didn't talk for 3 straight days. Didn't say anything. Didn't do anything. But 24 hours. The doctor walked in there and said, it's going to be 24 hours. It was 23 and a half hours. Exactly. Follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. There's strength there. There's a power there. And it comes from God. Because guess what? That day, everything he'd preached about, swallowed up in life. So, man, I'm glad of that. Amen? I'm so glad of that. Verse 5. Now, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God. Guess who made that possible? God. He made it possible that your life, this temporal life, can be swallowed up in eternal life. That's who made that possible. God. Amen? Who also hath... Oh, man, can I read this verse? Listen, turn your ears on real quick. You got to get this before you leave. Watch this right here. Now, he hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Man, that's a good word, ain't it? Right? Can I help you right there just a little bit? Take that word earnest right there and change that word to guarantee. Well, does that change it for you? I gave you a guarantee. Earnest right there is the same word, but it sounds different to us because we don't use that much anymore. But it's like earnest money or guarantee. What it says is, I've purchased you, right? And I'm going to leave you something to make sure that there is a guarantee that you're mine and the purchase is made full in me. God, y'all are hard nuts to crack sometimes. I don't know if you get enough sleep on Sundays or what. I just want you to get this. Answer me a question. Is there anybody in here that's saved? Okay, good. Do you have the Holy Spirit of God in you? So since you've been saved, there's an operation of the Holy Spirit in you who, no matter how good or how bad you are, there's an operation who convicts, who sins, who encourages, who changes. You got that going on? Any of that stuff? Well, guess what else you got in there with that? A guarantee. Man. You got a guarantee. Listen, I want to break this down for you. God said, that's mine. Listen to this. This temporary broken down vessel. This vessel that will not make it. I'm going to put some eternity inside of that. And that's going to be the guarantee that you're paid for. Golly bum. You should every once in a while, when you don't feel worth, you don't feel worthy, don't feel like I'm getting in, don't feel like I'm doing, you just really, wait a minute. God's given me a guarantee. I don't know about anybody else's guarantee. God's guarantees, pretty good. Can I say it a better way? They're perfect. He guaranteed you. Man, that puts me on a whole nother level. Sometimes, hey man, I don't have to perform for this thing. I've got God in me, and that is the guarantee. That's the earnest down payment of myself. He is a redeemer. Redeemer means, remember when the man was going down to Jericho and they found him half dead, and he got him and he fixed up his wounds. And he put him on his own beast, and he carried down to the hotel or the inn, and he said, here, I'm going to pay for the man to stay who was half dead. I've clothed him. And guess what? If there is anything left over, when I come back, I will pay it all. Golly bum. God says that when it's all said and done with, you're guaranteed I paid it all. Amen. That's, whew, I don't know about you, but this kind of stuff gets me every time. Verse 5. Now he that hath wrought us, oh, that's verse 6. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. Right? Verse 7. For we walk by faith, not by sight. Man, that this is important. We walk by faith, not by sight. Not by what we see, not by what we feel, and not by how we, man, definitely not by how we feel. Amen? We got to go by what we believe. Amen? We've got to go by what we believe. Because guess what? What you see and what you hear and what you feel can push you all over the map. But what you know in Christ Jesus, by faith, can leave you settled in the worst of storms. Amen? I love what he says, while we're in this body, we are separated from God. Amen? We can't see it sometimes. We have to go about our lives. We have to see, man, there's people, and as messed up as we are today, amen? We've got so much information. We are flooded with information. Sometimes I think we've got more information than we can process. Amen? We've got radio, internet, TV, and we never shut down for a minute to listen to God. We never take time and turn everything off anymore. So we got all this information coming in, and we're not getting any wiser. We're not getting any smarter. Right? So you're constantly battling over, man, the country's going under, this is going under, this could possibly happen, the Russians, the Chinese. You're sitting there going, wait a minute, has God lost control? Has God lost control? Because I say dumb things like this. Well, if so-and-so don't get elected, this will be, if so-and-so don't happen, that's gonna, and God's up there going, wait a minute, I thought I said in Psalms, I bring up kingdoms and I set down kingdoms. I'm in control of the king's heart. It's me who's in operation, not you. Now listen, we're stewards of stuff, but don't get so caught up in it that you think, man, all of a sudden God's lost control and we've taken over and somehow we're manipulating God. God is not like that. Everything that happens, he's like, I know that was going to happen. I can handle that. Nothing kept, man, Isaiah looked up, King Uri was he was a great king. And he died. And Isaiah was like, everybody's sad and heartbroken. Amen? A great king's died. We're probably going to get a terrible king. The very next thing that happens is, I seen God high and lifted up on his throne. And his train filled the room. What is he saying? Your king never comes off the throne. Your king's in control. Stop worrying about the temporal. Amen? And you think, well, man, what if times get real hard? I hate to tell you this, but in this book, in the New Testament book, the church prospers more when they're in trouble, in persecution, than they do in prosperity. It tends to be when the church is prospering, we get lazy and inconsistent, and we're thinking about, man, we're doing great. When we're being persecuted, we spread the gospel like wildfire. The church was spread the most by the church that was persecuted the most. Amen? Think about that. Paul was sent about to scatter the church, and they run them out of Jerusalem, and they run them all out over the Jewish nation, and they thought, man, that'll do away with it. And they said, what are they doing? They're down there preaching the gospel everywhere else. Paul said, give me papers that I might go after them, chase them, and bring them back here. And what happened? In the pursuit of chasing them, Jesus saved him. God's in control. Amen? That's what it comes down to. God's in control. Verse 8, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Yes. Wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. Did y'all get that last part? Whether we're on our way to heaven or we're here for a while, we want to be accepted by God. Amen? I'm going to give y'all this next point. Man, I really thought about this one. I've been preaching this for probably 10 or 12 years. and I'm not able to kind of break this down, but I believe God's given it to me in such a way tonight and recently that I can. So let's look at this verse 10 really closely. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. You might want to underline that and highlight that. Amen? You might want to put that one down. Because sometimes we can get caught up in some temporary stuff and worry too much about some things in our own personal lives. Hello? That we forget that one day every one of us in here are going to sit before the judgment seat of Christ. And this is true. This is right where it said that we are too. We. All right? Listen. That everyone may receive the thing done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Whew. Okay? Now listen, I've thought about this and I said, wait a minute, how can a believer stand before God and give an account for good and bad? How is he going to judge us for sin? Because God, if he judges for sin, we should be cast out. Is that correct? Yes, that's correct. But instead, we're going to be covered by the blood of Jesus, okay? So we're in a different judgment. We're standing before the judgment seat. So I'm going to say this, he's going to judge us as children. Now I'm hoping I'm going to help you right here. Because this right here could change the way you walk as a Christian if you'll let it. What if he judges us on the way we behaved since we've been saved as a mature child or an immature child? Amen? What if we stand before God and we've been saved 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, 30 years, and he was still dealing with us about the things that when we first got saved that we shouldn't be doing? Would you stop lying, stop manipulating, stop stealing, stop being in adulterous relationships, stop doing these things that I've told you not to be doing, right? Let me think some other ones real quick. Stop using drugs, stealing, backbiting, murmuring, complaining, telling tales. Anything I left out? Anybody else got one? Just kidding. Sorry. I got carried away. Do you see what I'm saying? After a little while, you expect your children to mature, right? Okay? You expect them to mature and start taking up the family business as far as God's concerned. Amen. Are y'all good? Like, say for instance, if God was a farmer, all right? Say he was a farmer. And say he had this field, this huge field that he made, that he plowed and got ready, and he prepared the field. Let's just call that place Earth, okay? and then he got some people that were saved, and he said, I need workers in the field. And when you first got saved, you still had a lot of old tendencies and things like that. So he gave you the commandments, and he put the commandments on your heart. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt love your neighbor. You should not, you love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. These two things that hinge together, love God with all heart, mind, and soul, love your neighbor as yourself. That'll help you keep that. The Spirit of God does that for you. But after a while, you should start saying, Hey, Dad. I'm tired of don't do this and do that. I want to work. I want to be a part of what you're doing. I want to be a part of the work. I don't want you to have to get on to me all the time. From now on, I want you to correct me when I don't do something right in the field. Not something in my personal life. Not, hey, go get it. Not, hey, do this. Hey, wake up. Go. Hey, try. Please do something for me. Hey, please pray. Hey, please read. Hey, please do. No, it's this. You get up and you say, hey, Dad. If you see me working on the wrong path, or plowing in the wrong part of the field, or feeding the wrong person, or doing the wrong thing, you hear me? Correct me then. Amen? Oh, gosh. Do you understand what I'm saying? I believe we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. He said, listen, you're the equivalent of somebody who's been saved for 20 years, and you're still living in God's basement, playing video games. And he's asking you to do more than just sit on the sideline. Amen? He wants you to be in the game. He wants you to be in the field. And if you mess up in the field, he can come out there and go, no, listen, I've been working this field forever. Let me show you how to do that. Amen? Does that make sense to you? That's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to look at it like that. We're going to have to look, man, I want to stand before God. And I want to say, listen, I didn't plow the straightest rows. I didn't feed where I should have fed. I didn't water where I should have watered. Hey, it was something, but listen, I got in the field. I didn't have to have God tell me over and over and over to stop doing stuff as a grown man that I know not to do. Or as a grown woman, we don't know what to do anymore. All right, God, I don't want you to have to scold me all the time I want to, if I'm going to get in trouble, I'm going to get in trouble because I was messing around the field wrong. Amen? You left the water pump wide open. Right? You put too much. You fed too much. You cut them too soon. You pruned them too far back. If you don't know what I'm talking about right there, I've had God, stop cutting on that one. Give some grace to that one. Give some mercy to that one. Give that one some hard truth. Cut that one some more. Are you all right? But we're in the field. We're not talking about stuff, do's and don'ts anymore. We're going to stand before God, and there's going to be a lot of people who get in just by the skin of their teeth. What it is, can I give you a good illustration? I know it don't work this way, but I say it a lot. What if you were wedged in between somebody, say like Paul was in front of you and John the Revelator was behind you? And you're on your line to go to the judgment seat. Paul's been beat. He's bow-legged as all get out because they've whooped him so many times and left the wounds open, he can barely walk. He's been stoned to death, shipwrecked, done all this other stuff. And then you're like, you want to avoid that guy. And you're kind of like, man, I'll just turn around. And there's John the Revelator behind you who they took him and they boiled him in oil, hoping that he would die. But he didn't die. And he was standing there and you can't even recognize him as a human being because he's been boiled in oil. But at the day that they boiled him in oil, they put him on the Isle of Patmos. And on the Lord's Day, he said, it seems like it's the Lord's Day. We should have church by himself. And they gave him the book of Revelation. God downloaded the book of Revelations, John, after he's boiled in oil. And there you stand. Well, God, thank you for saving me. Man, you saved me for 20 years. And here's a lump of ashes. I didn't really do anything but hung out. I went to church a lot. Thank you. Man, I ain't saying it's going to work out, but I'm just going to say, wouldn't you like to have something? Wouldn't you like to be able to say, hey, God, I took the one talent I had. I took the two talents. I took the four talents. Not everybody's got 10 talents. Amen? I know I don't. I got like two. Amen? Let me be honest, I got one talent, but I'm going to use it until I'm done. Amen? I'm going to use it till I'm done. And you know what? I'm going to say, hey, it wasn't muscle, but I done the best I could. Right? I know it's all dependent on Christ, but praise God, you're going to stand before that judgment seat. As a mature child, it'd be something to be going, hey, Lord, hey. Verse 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest into your conscience. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may be have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. Listen to this, for whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for God. I love that verse 13. I'm not going to explain it real a lot, but he said, whether we be crazy or we would be of sound mind, it's all for God. Golly, I wish some of y'all would be real. Y'all are good at church, but anybody ever get a little crazy? Does life ever get a little crazy? And you get, do you ever get crazy? I want to keep asking that until somebody says, you ain't even seen my crazy yet. God says, whether we be, totally out of our mind crazy sometimes, or whether we be sound-minded as can be, God's in all of it. Ain't that, man, everyone, hey, if you don't say amen out loud on something, just write a little note over and say amen, thank God. You know what I mean? Because I know some of you crazies want to go, praise God, I don't want to tell how crazy I really am. But I'm glad when I'm out of my mind sometimes. When I'm thinking totally opposite, God's in that too. Amen? And then when I'm showing out, you know, when you want to listen to this thought, you know, God's in that too. Amen? Well, let me show you something. I want to show you something. This is so good. There's so many bullets here. Verse 13, for whether we beside ourselves, no, verse 14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. Man, I love this. Because we thus judge, if one died for all, then we're all dead. Whew. You know what Paul just said? None good. None good. when Jesus died, if Jesus came and had to die for all of us, we all needed it. So don't put yourself in some kind of category where there's big Christians and little Christians and smart and valuable and more valuable and most valuable. Nope. Guess what? All were guilty. If it took Christ to die for all, then all were guilty. Man, that's good for me. Amen. I think the old preacher said it best. The ground is level at Calvary. When we all come to Calvary, guess what? That land, that ground right there is like, that means it don't matter who you are. You all bow in front of that and say, hey, I need you, Jesus. Amen? That just helps you, right, when you see it. Verse 15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. I'll read that 15 again. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth, now we know no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Look at this. This is my favorite verse, and I'll be done. This is my favorite verse in this section. I come all the way here to preach this point right here, and I'll be done. Maybe 2 minutes. Therefore, if, take your Bible, underline that word if right there. Now, I want to preach this to you, but I want you to use this to preach unto other people too. Teach this in your Sunday school classes. Teach this to your family. Teach it to anybody who will listen to you. Amen? Because this is a big part of ministering to people. Therefore, if, take a line and circle that word if right there. If any man be in Christ. Therefore, if any man be in Christ. Okay, look, there's a big if right there. When you say, if any man be in Christ, that means they got to do a little self-examination. You got to look at yourself. If I'm in Christ, right? This right here, you got to look at that. Okay, if I'm in there. So that means you're going to examine yourself whether you be in the faith right there. He is a new creature. I can't explain this to you any other way that when you truly get saved and the light comes on, there's somebody on the inside that you've never, ever dealt with before. Amen? You've never heard his voice. You've never felt his leadership. When you were lost, it was what you were doing, whatever you, man, there was somebody in there that's so contrary to you that he don't have to scream, holler, fuss, or nothing. It's just, no, don't do that. Don't say that. Don't go there. Quit. Turn around. Say you're sorry. Repent. You know what I mean? That's God. Amen? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Man, I'm going to be honest with you. There are some things that go away right away. Some things go away right away. And then for the rest of your life, you're having funerals over and over and over. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? Some things dropped off, boom, they're gone. But some things, hey, that's gone. Praise God. That old man started passing away. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Whew. Is that going on? Is that happening? Everybody looks at you. They go, I recognize you. Have you had that happen yet? I recognize you. You're that guy I went to school with. I recognize you. You're the person he's drinking with. Yeah, I recognize you used to. That's me, but it's not me. Amen? We're going to embark on this in the next few weeks in the series that we're teaching. There should be some questions people ask. Amen? Not things you ask the world, but things the world asked you. I remember when I first got saved, I worked at Shaw W.E. Plant. That was my Egypt. But I remember after I got saved, there were some questions being asked. What happened to you? You're different. Why are you not doing these things? Where are you at these times? Why are you not talking to these people? Amen? Why are you reading that book? Things like that. Amen? And that's where you see old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Can I give you one more before we close? I love this part. Underline that word behold. Okay? Do y'all know what behold means? Say it real loud. It means look, not listen. Amen? Listen, when you truly get saved, you don't tell people anymore, let me tell you how what I'm doing. You know what you say? Look-see. Look, take a look. Amen? Just watch. I can't explain it to you. I don't know how to tell you what's happened. What you could do one thing, just watch. Behold. Man, that was the biggest. I knew I got saved because, man, I used to love give speeches. Amen? I was like the Abe Lincoln of sinners. Amen? Here to, therefore, now from now on, this guy's changing. No more will I, henceforth, therefore, too, be the same guy that I used to be. Mark it down. This day in history. Right? And 5 weeks, 5 days later, I'm just as bad as I was before. Right? But when I truly got saved, the first thing I told to the person I loved the most is I said, you're just going to have to wait and see. I can't explain what's happening to me. Amen? No more stories. No more telling you. You're just going to have to watch and see because this is crazy. Right? Behold, all things have come to you. Let's all stand.